Christian, that is exactly that takes the place. We have to submit to the authority of that kingdom. And if you turn your Bible with me on Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. Are you all there? Colossians chapter 1. Are you already there? It says, Paul said, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. See? He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. And also the New Living Translation, it says, For He has rescued us from the one who rules in the kingdom of darkness, and He has brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So when we become a Christian, you actually leave the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, and you are relocated into another kingdom, the kingdom of God, right? And the kingdom of God is mentioned about 130 times in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, and it is the central theme of the New Testament. It is what really the early church is preaching. It is what Jesus Christ is preaching. It is what we are preaching. We are to preach the kingdom of God because it is at hand. It is coming. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, remember when Nicodemus asked Jesus Christ, and Jesus answered Nicodemus, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born, he cannot see the what? He cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are truly, truly, unless you are born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born? So Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So when you are born again, you are being removed. You are being relocated out from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. His lordship, His authority. And now that is very important that we understand that. Or else the beatitude is no good. Because beatitude set the order of the new kingdom that is in focus. It is the constitution that and the bylaws of the kingdom of God. Amen? I remember when I came here, migrated here in the United States in 1979, and my brother picked me up at LAX, and I asked him if I could drive his car. First time, I just got off from the airport, from the plane, and then when we go to the parking lot, I said, Bro, can I drive your car? And he said, You know what? I just want to tell you that you have to be very careful because the freeway here, it has only 5 lanes. And be sure to abide that there's 5 lanes because in Manila, there's only 4 lanes, but sometimes it makes 5 lanes. And sure, if you're doing that, because there is a new system here, you have to be careful, or else if you drive the way how you drive in Manila, you ended up in the hospital. Right? The same thing in our Christian life. If we have been 35 years, you are living in the kingdom of darkness here. You are in domain and the king of this world. Do you know who is the king of this world? Satan. And the king of this world is Satan. You are under his domain, and you've been doing your life as a Christian for 30 years. I've been 30 years before I become born again. So you'll be doing the way how you live here. But now that you are born again, you have been transferred, you have been relocated. There is a relocation happening in your life. Now you're in the kingdom of God. There is a system. As there's another system here in the kingdom of the world, there's a system that God has set aside for all the residents of his kingdom. And now that you are born again, born by the water and the blood, you're born again, there is a new system that God has set aside for his for all the residents that live in his kingdom. Amen? And that system is the beatitude. Amen? And that if we don't understand that, there is a conflict that's going on in our life, because we used to do here, and now there's a different system. Have you noticed that a lot of us, you say, you know what? When I was living here in the world before I become a Christian, I enjoying my life, right? And now that I'm here in the kingdom of God, I'm miserable. Have you noticed that? Why is it that now I'm here, I'm not enjoying my life? But here before, you know, almost every month there's a birthday, there's eating, there's drinking, enjoying my life. And now here in this kingdom, I'm miserable. But we need to understand that this is in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the writer of Romans said that for the kingdom of God is not what? It's not eating or drinking. See? But righteousness and peace and joy in where? In the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. We have that, Ervin? Huh? In the Romans chapter 14. For the kingdom of God is what? Okay. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. So it doesn't mean that there is no trouble. Even though there's a trouble, but there is a peace, there's a joy. So that's in Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's a Tagalog version for that. It says, sapagkat ang kaharian ng Diyos ay hindi ang pagkain at paginom, kundi ang katuwiran at ang kayapayapayaan at ang tagkagalakan sa Espiritu Santo. See? Meron din diyan sa Ilocano. Anybody from Ilocos here? Huh? Glona, can you read it for us? Hindi kasi. Tati pangarihan, ti Diyosan ka ng panamangan, kin panaginom, no dit kit kinalintig kapatyat kag rag o nga ited de espiritu. See? Hindi ang pagkain ang kasi mahilig tayo sa, you know, we think that it's about drinking and eating, but that's not the kingdom of God. Amen?
That's why we need to understand that's what really the kingdom of God is. Amen? So because when you become transported out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, there is righteousness, there is peace and joy as a lifetime. And it doesn't mean you don't have problems. It does not mean that there are no disasters that would come in your life. But in the midst of those things, God will give you peace. Right? In the midst of those things, you have right standing with the Lord. In the midst of this, there will be an inward joy, unspeakable, full of glory. And that's what God's plan for us. Amen? And I encounter that when I become born again, you're going to be deserted. You're going to be, you know, your family will even desert you. Amen? So that's why he said, why is it that I'm now that I'm a Christian, why is it that, no, there is sit you aside and they won't talk to you. But that's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's not about drinking, but there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that there is no disaster, right? And if you don't understand that, we're going to be in trouble, especially if we don't understand the first thing that we studied last week. It's hard because that's the foundation that we have. Amen? And Matthew chapter 5, I want you to open in Matthew chapter 5. That's our text. Matthew chapter 5. Amen. Are you all there? Chapter 5, and we're going to read the constitution of the kingdom of God, or the Beatitudes. We talk about the kingdom. And wherever that king has sovereign rule, that is his kingdom. Right? I have my kingdom. It's in 522 Riverview Drive. And I am the king of the house from 8 to 5. When Rose is working, as soon as I drop her off, I am the king of that kingdom, the 522 Riverview Drive. But then when she comes back on at 5 o'clock, now I relinquish that kingdom. Amen? Right, Brother Paul? See, each one of us have a kingdom. If you don't realize it. Right, Brother Ray? I know a lot of us are macho. Right? Macho no rin. But, so let's read. Are you all there? Matthew chapter 5. Because God wants to rule in our hearts. Okay, so we're going to read verses 2 to 12, because that's our text for the next 2 to 3 weeks. And by the way, I shared this message in 2009. Amen. If you hear this, you're familiar with this, I believe that the Word of God is still the same, but the Word of God is there's you cannot say that, okay, this is it. But sometimes the Word of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, He give you a rhema. You know what rhema is? It's the rhema word. It's not from here. It's from the Spirit. The Spirit of the leader. Amen? The rhema word is something that, that's what it is. It's something that, I did not hear it. I did not know that before. Because the Word of God is unfathomable. You cannot measure the deepness of the Word of God. Amen? So if you hear this, have your mind open that maybe there's something that God wants you to reveal to you. The Rhema word. Amen. It's something, or maybe something that God will remind you that maybe the first time that you hear this word, you just put it aside, put it in the shelves of your books, in the shelves. But then now God wants you to open that, and maybe God is calling you something. Right? Amen? So let's read this word, the Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, Jesus Christ delivered this to his disciple. But there is a group of people there that are not saved. But this was for his disciple. Amen? But you might say, how do you know that that's only for his disciple and not for everybody? It is for everybody, but there are some people that are also there. Because in chapter 7, I just want to sidetrack this. Chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 24, there is in there that says, it's chapter 7 on Matthew. It says that the crowd or the people were gathered there. Amen? Then we can look that one when we have time. But go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 2, and he said, and he opened his mouth. That's on top of the mount in there. And they see that this mount is like close to Capernaum, but they could not find that anymore. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophet who were before you. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you this morning. Thank you for this bylaws, Lord, this framework, Lord God, that in your kingdom, so that we will not be confused, Lord God, that there is a king that rules in each one of our life, Father God. And Lord, we thank you today. We ask for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to reveal to us, Lord, to speak to us, Lord God, the things about your kingdom, Lord, and the king on that kingdom. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Blessed, happy, to be envied are those who are poor in spirit, for there is a kingdom of God. And last week we talked about what really to be poor in spirit, right? And we said it means to be God-reliant instead of self-reliance. It means to be aware that without God, we cannot do nothing. It means that we have no strength in ourselves. The recognition that I cannot do anything without the Lord. And that is the bottom line of walking with Him. And I need the Lord in every day of our life. And the opposite of it is the fall of yourself. I don't need God. I am self-sufficient. Anybody can take that kind of position as a Christian. And the Lord let them go for that. If you don't need me, you know what? God will not force his way into our life. See, Jesus did not call the righteous to repentance, but the unrighteous. And then no man could come to the Lord until you become poor in spirit. Because if you're not poor in spirit, you don't see the need of our Lord Jesus Christ. Until you become empty of yourself, he no longer can figure out the answer. It's just like this bottle. You know, it's full of dirt. And God could not fill you now because it's full, right? There's no way they can fill in here. unless we are empty ourselves, unless we are empty of ourselves, then He's able to pour His Spirit within here. Right? And sometimes it's overflowing. He wants to fill you up. Overflowing, Brother Paul. Not only half empty, but He wants to overflow you. That's what He wants. That's His plan to each one of our lives. Amen? So that's why this first verse in Beatitude, unless you become poor in spirit, this is the filet mignon of the Beatitude. This is very important that we understand being poor in spirit. It's not that, oh my gosh, I don't have money to buy for my dinner. It's not money. It could not be acquired by doing something. It's the byproduct. It's the product of being, have a relationship with God. So poor in spirit is not, it's not a situation. It's not a thing that you do it, you accomplish it. Poor in spirit is the byproduct of having a relationship with God. Amen? That's the first thing we need to put it in our heart. Because sometimes you heard about poor. I don't want to be poor. Pat, do you want to be poor? No, I don't want to be poor. I rebuke that poor. Right? And people will when they hear the poor spirit, I don't want to be poor. Like a lady, he visited the church. And after the service, she just stand and quick and he left the church. And the elder kind of catch him and said, "Mom, we just, you know, you leave right away. Is there a problem?" "Yeah, I have a problem. I don't want the pastor, the characterization of being poor. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to, you know, because we say that you have to get credit, you have to worship the Lord. No, I don't want to do that. I did everything." And I shared that with you last week, you know, before I migrated in here in America, man, I went to every churches. I pray that I could come to America. I'll do everything. I pray to Saint Christopher, you know, Christopher Colon, the Saint Christopher, the traveling saint, right? And all the saints. And then when I arrive here, I forgot about it. I'm here. I can do it by myself. I don't need you, God. Until God reminds me again that we have a covenant. Amen? We have a covenant. And then we realize, you know what? I'm poor. I'm at the end of my rope. Amen? And that, unless we realize it, unless we realize that I'm in the end of my rope, I cannot do it in my own strength. And God, when I allow God to come into my life. Amen? Amen? Amen. So that's what we are talking about here. Here's another translation, New Living Translation. God blesses those who realize their need for Him. Do we have that? God blesses those who realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is given to them. The Message version, it says, "You're blessed when you are at the end of your rope, with less of you, and there is more of God and His rule." So remember, he said that the first beatitude is the key that will lock up with all the rest of them. And we don't understand this one, certainly won't go for the next one. Because you're not going to mourn for sure. You're not going to be meek. You're not going to be hungry and thirsty. You're not going to be peacemaker for yourself. Amen? You know that person is going to find a Christian walk at the end of it's ongoing poverty of the spirit. It's not to put us down. It means I am constantly aware that I cannot make it without the Lord. Amen? The kingdom operates when you recognize that you are poor in spirit and that you need God, that you need Him continually. When you get up in the morning, you need Him when you go to work. You need Him in the job, at the school, in your home, in the neighborhood. You need the Lord. I need the Lord. That leads me this poverty in spirit. I cannot live without Him. Then His role can be in my life and He can dwell in me. Amen. As long as we have that poverty in spirit, I recognize I cannot live without Him. Then His role can be in my life and He can dwell in me. So the first one is very important key to the rest of them. Amen. Now let's go to the second one. In Job chapter 5 verse 11, it says, He sits on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted up to safety. Remember, this is in the Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. In Luke chapter 6, verse 21, Luke's account of the Beatitude says, Blessed are you who weep, now, for you shall laugh. So most people laugh when they should weep, and most people laugh when they weep and then weep later. But God said, if you learn how to weep at the right time, you will laugh. And if you learn to mourn at the right time, you will find comfort. That's what God is saying here. And let's look up the word mourning so that we may understand the word meaning. It's a very strong word in the Greek, which means to have a broken heart. Mourning is to have a broken heart. Amen? We talked about last week about contrite and broken heart. The Lord loves those who have a contrite and broken heart. Mourning means in its in deepest kind of the only thing in the natural compared to the mourning of the lost their loved ones. Amen? When you mourn for the lost or your loved ones, then that's the feeling of being of mourning. Amen? The mourning that takes place in a man's spirit, it does not mean that you have to mourn in that category, but it's same intensity on that same desperation of the last one. The mourning that he's talking about here is that we see what our sin has done in our life. Not only to us, but what our sin have done to others. See, when you see others, see, like in a divorce, when you see how both parties, not only one, is suffering, you can mourn for them because of what the sin has done in their life. Amen. So mourning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10, it says, Godly sorrows, we do have that one? Okay, we have that one. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation, that leads to no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. So in New Living Translation, it says, For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. So there is some kind of a, you know, easy believism, you know, like you need Jesus Christ? Okay, all you have to do is just repeat this word, repeat this prayer, and that when, so that the new believer would say, you know what, I pray. Oh, now you prayed that one already? Now you're saved. But see, you wonder, there is no changes in their life. Because we think that it's an easy one. All you have to do is just repeat this, just and then you will be okay. But you see, there is when you truly believe, there is really a forgiveness or a repentance. There is a transformation that takes place. There is a change. There is a change in the life of that believer. Amen. There is repentance, then it produces forgiveness. It's just like a little boy. He has been playing, and there's a corner in the house where the vase, very expensive vase, and kind of old. It's an antique, and it's sitting there. And the boy's been playing around, running in that area. And the mom says, "You know what, son? Don't play there. You go on the other side." But then the son kept on playing in there. Now the mother said, "Son, I told you don't go there because you might hit that vase that was given to me by your grandma, great grandma." But then he doesn't listen. He just keep on doing, and suddenly he hit the vase, and it fall in the floor, and guess what? Tear down in thousands of pieces. And the mom said, "He sobbed. He cried. He cried and cried." And the boy standing in the corner, he couldn't do anything. He didn't do anything. So after dinner, he tried to wash dishes, and he tried to make his bed, which he did not done that before. And then the mom still sobbing until the boy come to a point. And then he walked to his mom. "Mom, forgive me. I did not obey you." And the mom said, he embraced him. "That's okay, son. You are more precious than the vase." That's the same thing with our Father in heaven. You know, when God is saying, "You know, I give you this. I provide everything, but yet you don't follow what I'm saying. But yet God says, you know what? You are more precious than these things that I give it to you. Because I love you." So when there's a repentance, comes a forgiveness that will come through. Amen? Amen? So there is no real deep sorrow over our sins. People that will say, "Oh, I go off." And they wonder what's missing in our Christian walk. To brothers and sisters, blessed are those who had godly sorrow, desperately sorry for their sins, for they shall be comforted. And what God is talking here is the ongoing, going spirit of repentance. That in every day, because James said, all have sinned. Amen? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then there's this an ongoing repentance in our life. I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm not talking about heaven and hell, but you receive the Lord, so walk in Him. It is the lifestyle, just as the first one in the lifestyle, not only the initial way to receive the Lord by being poor, but the Spirit, but recognizing the ongoing need of God in our life. Amen. Now it says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they will be comforted." Blessed are they that mourn, but they will be comforted. Amen. See the word meaning of comfort. The meaning of comfort is have a drawing closer. The word comfort is drawing closer. Amen. See, God has comforted us. See, He wants to draw near to us. Amen. He wants to draw near to you and me. And all that what God wants us is to mourn. And as we mourn, and if it's time to weep, then we will laugh. And when we laugh and take God with seriousness, and that we can walk in the entire Christian life and go to heaven never known to have, and because God wants us to have an abundant life. Jesus did not come to make you sad. Jesus came to make you glad. Amen. He came to give you life, and that life more abundantly. Amen. So the Bible said that weeping endures for what? For night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. What happened when we have godly sorrow with the Lord because of our sin? The Lord come near to us. He bring comfort. He draw to us. Like the mother who puts her arm to the child and said, "Honey, I love you. You are more important than the vase." Amen. God is looking for us to show our godly sorrow so He can comfort us. The result of godly sorrow brings blessing into our lives. And look at Job. Job 5:11. Did we have that one here? He said, "He sits on high." Do we have that? No? Job chapter 5, verse 11. You can I put it that in your note. Job 5:11. That's in the Old Testament. It says, "He sits on high, those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety." You see, it reminds me about, you know, that why did God put this mourning? There is true mourning and false mourning. Because the children of Israel, when somebody died, they hire those people that will accompany the casket, and they start mourning, you know, like very sorrow. But they are hired. So God is trying to differentiate for us those true repentance, the true sorrow that we have. Remember in the Philippines, I think in the Philippines we do the same thing. What's that? Eulogy? Yeah, and then sometimes he crying, but he's crying, it's not a true mourning. So God was trying to differentiate that will mourning that will result to repentance and forgiveness. Amen. To I need you to meditate on this too. Being poor in spirit, and unless we mourn, we cannot experience the repentance, the sorrow, or the peace that God could not comfort us. Amen. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. For they shall, God will be drawn to them. Amen? Godly sorrow. So, here's what it really means. When you are touched with godly comfort, when God draws near to you, the first thing that happened to that person that mourned over his sin is peace. Peace that floods your soul. When you mourn, when God draw near to you, the first thing that happens to you, the first thing is that there is peace. Peace that will flood your soul. The second one is the awareness of the forgiveness of sin in His portion. And He is accepted of the Father. Suddenly, the wall that separates you from the Maker is gone. Because you experience the forgiveness of God. David said in Psalms 51, says, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me." What does David is asking? the joy of your salvation. Because there is joy. Even though your mourning people could see the joy inside of you. Amen? As we bow our hearts before the Lord, I would like to ask you a question. Are you here this morning that maybe you just take those sins slightly and not really calling it and just calling it a mistake instead of a sin in your life? God wants to draw near to you this morning, but it requires godly sorrow for your sin in your life. You want God to restore the joy of your salvation? Does anybody want it? That God will restore the joy of salvation God has given. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you, God, for the beatitude, Lord, for the frameworks of your kingdom, Lord God, that you have given to us, Lord. Last Sunday, Lord, we learned about being poor, Lord, knowing that we cannot do it in our own strength, but only through the strength that you have given to us. And Father, we thank you today for this verse, Lord, that you bless those who mourn, Lord God. Mourn for their salvation, for their sin, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray this morning, Lord God, that this will not be only a study that we have, Lord, but it's the lifestyle that you have given to us, Lord, that we follow, Lord Jesus, your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for this beatitude, Lord God, that rules us in your kingdom, Lord. And Father, we pray that you, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will remind us, Lord, when we step out of bound, Lord God, in your kingdom. And Lord, we thank you today. We ask, Lord Jesus, today for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to fill each one of us, Lord, that because you are empty, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you today for your word. And thank you, God, for giving us this opportunity, Lord, to bring our love offering to your storehouse, Lord God. And the tithes, Lord, that there will be no need, Lord, in your household, Lord God. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.